Well, good afternoon and welcome to a bite-sized edition of the Star Blades. Following the news, you're probably all aware of that Sheffield United's match tonight against QPR has been postponed due to a COVID outbreak in the visitors' camp. I'm Steve Jones, I'm one of the Star's sports reporters, and I'm joined by James Shield, our regular Blades correspondent. We are live on Facebook, so if you've got any comments, just give us a shout and we'll try and get through as many of those as we can. James, can you just give us a little rundown of the situation as you understand it, please?
Yeah, well, clearly, I mean, as you've just said, Steve, the situation is that QPR have had an outbreak of coronavirus within their squad, a pretty big outbreak by the sounds of things. Mark Warburton, their manager, saying today that he's got 10 members of his squad, or certainly 10 members, 10 people associated with the first team squad who have been forced to enter isolation. So it was around lunchtime yesterday when they first made the EFL, the English Football League, that is aware of the fact that they might not be able to fulfil the fixture. There's clearly certain criteria that the governing body wants to look at before they make an announcement on the postponement, because it's something that they have been absolutely desperate to avoid. They've been very, very keen to put measures in place or issue guidelines. We'll probably get onto some more of those in a minute to try and limit any potential disruption to the fixture calendar. And then I think events, from what I've been told, sort of spiralled out of control pretty quickly after United had been first made aware of the fact that the fixture may well be in threat, under threat. And the postponement was officially confirmed a couple of hours later on Sunday afternoon. So it's a huge blow. I mean, obviously here we're concerned with Sheffield United, and you hope everybody who's either tested positive or who's been forced into isolation at QPR, you hope they're all safe and as well as can possibly be. But certainly from United's point of view, It's a massive, massive blow for them. I mean, they came into the game, or would have been coming into the game, on the back of a three-match winning streak. They've been gathering sort of real momentum, over the past couple of weeks. They would have gone eighth in the table if they'd have won the game. And I think they'll have been, despite the fact QPR are challenging, or, you know, are currently in the playoff positions and are clearly going to be a promotion contender, you would have thought. Everybody we'd spoken to around United camp was really looking forward to this game, because you got the sense there was a real belief among them that they could make a real sort of statement of intent in this game by beating QPR. We don't know when the rearrangement is going to be yet. It's obviously come at a great sort of financial cost as well to the football club, because, of course, the game was due to be broadcast live on television. So unless the new date is also picked for coverage, then they'll miss out on the money there. But I think in sporting terms, it's just a kick in the teeth.
Yeah,
I must admit, you do suspect with it. You can read sort of the mood music and, you know, that's coming out of government buildings now. I suspect this is not going to be the last match to fall victim to the latest wave of the pandemic.
Yeah, there seems to have been numerous games that have fallen by the wayside in the last few days. I know you mentioned the significant financial cost. I believe it's £100,000 that missed out. The club would have missed out on TV money alone.
I think the even bigger one, Steve, as well, and I'm sure it'll sort of, you know, dwarf that. I mean, listen, it doesn't sound a lot. £100,000, let's not get into sort of like that football speak here, where, you know, we talk about sums of money like that as being almost small change. It's not. £100,000 is an awful lot of money, and it's £100,000 that the club will have to now find elsewhere. Or you would have thought they would. But I think the big cost as well is this was due to be Sheffield United's final outing before Christmas at home. And, you know, there will have been big corporate sales on the back of that. There will have been a big take-up in terms of match tickets, in terms of hospitality. And you suspect that all of that, or much of that, a large chunk of that, is going to have been lost as well. But I do go back. I say that's something for the owners to look at and to try and mitigate the effects of. But I do think the biggest cost to Sheffield United here is is a footballing cost, because you know we've talked a lot over the weekend about how the fact they've only beaten one team in the top half of the table so far this season, and I think you know they were coming into the game in really good shape, and it was clearly a match that they were confident of winning. So that's a blow. No easy one for their next one either. Fulham away.
Definitely not. I think QPR had been on a 31-game scoring streak in the league, which was broken last time out. So you are right. I think they lost the last game as well. So
yeah, they did. Yeah.
Would have been a good time to play them. Is there any idea, even a rough idea, of when that game could be slotted back into the calendar? Maybe not next month?
Absolutely none so far, Steve. I mean, obviously, we've been trying to chase this up today. I suspect, and this is... It's only a guess, and obviously in this business we don't like to guess, but unfortunately that's as much as we can do at the moment. I don't think it's going to be a quick turnaround. I'm just wondering, I've been told by a couple of people, again, who won't be sort of reaching a binding decision on this. They won't be involved in that, but there clearly seems to be some sort of pressure maybe on both clubs just to wait a little while before rescheduling the game, just to allow this latest wave of the virus to sort of play through almost, and just to sort of, I think basically what the EFL, what Sheffield United and what QPR will be desperate to avoid is a situation where they reschedule this game for a fortnight's time, and then they end up having to do it again. They end up having to do it again and again after that. So I think they'll be looking for a cleaner sort of decision-making process. I'm just wondering if we're going to see this maybe sort of 6-7 weeks down the track. I don't think they'll want to wait until the end of the season, because obviously then there's other sort of sporting considerations that come into account as well. And you'll see other clubs, because both of these two teams will be confident that they'll be challenging promotion at that time. You'll then see other clubs, possibly if it's favourable to one or the other, or favourable to both, but maybe not some of the other promotion contenders sort of sticking their oar into the process, and you can understand that. So I think we may be, you know, looking at about a month and a half, 2 months down the track maybe. But again, unfortunately, it's only a guess at this stage, and that's the best we can do. I do think it's significant though that no immediate date, because QPR and Sheffield United have been in conversation. And I think it's significant that no immediate date has been announced.
Yeah, you mentioned that sort of perilous situation we're in at the moment with COVID infections. Are you able to talk us through some of the measures the club have brought in just to protect themselves and the players and staff?
Yes, I am. Yeah, that's something that we can say for definite. And it's interesting that one of Sheffield United's club doctors actually advises the EFL on their sort of organisational wide response to the pandemic as well. So a couple of things, and we've talked about this on the website and it'll be in the paper tomorrow. Some of the things they've brought in are, it's interesting, obviously it's standard practice in football for players to share rooms, to double up as it were on away match duty. That's now been changed. They'll be on individual rooms. That obviously limits the risk of a huge number of players being forced to isolate, obviously dependent on vaccine status, but stuff like that's changing all the time, isn't it? But that reduces the number of people who might be forced into an isolation period. So individual rooms. I'm led to believe they'll be travelling on two coaches again. That had been brought back to one. Obviously, at one point, at the height of the pandemic, teams are actually travelling on three. You remember seeing the first match Sheffield United played in, actually, the first match of Project Restart after the first national lockdown. I can remember being outside Villa Park and watching three coaches arrive. But they'll be travelling to Fulham, their first away game, on two, again, to try and sort of limit that possibility of anybody who might have the disease transmitting it to any of their teammates, but also negating the likelihood of a huge number of Paul Heckingbottom's squad being placed into isolation, if that is the case. Mask wearing is obviously, I mean, we all do that. or most of us do that now, but that's the messages behind that have been reinforced around the training ground. And there's also EFL guidance out there on how you actually train. Now, I understand Sheffield United are training pretty much as normal when they're on the training pitch, but that mask wearing in particular is taking place during team meetings. There's EFL guidance on the fact that maybe meal times as well in the canteen should be staggered. And also there's quite sort of interesting talk about, I say interesting, I don't mean that in a flippant way, but about separating players almost into separate bubbles away from the training pitch, depending on their vaccine status. Now, the last time we checked up on this, there's issues of patient confidentiality, but we were led to believe that, you know, the vast majority of Sheffield United's squad had taken up the invitation to at least have one or two jabs. We'll shortly be trying to find out whether any of them are now up to three, because obviously that process is being changed at government level. But they talk about arranging those bubbles on sort of your vaccine status as well. So there's plenty being done. And I must say, listen, it's not a competition. Because nobody wants to see any, you know, you don't want prizes being handed out in a situation like this. But I do think Sheffield United actually have done, and fingers crossed this is still the case, because obviously a lot of it is out of their control. But Sheffield United have done pretty well, actually, I think, by sort of managing to limit the amount of disruption in terms of positive cases within their own camp. You know, there have been some. And there's been times when I know it's been pretty tough there at the training camp, but I think full credit to the doctors and the medical staff who are advising Paul Heckingbottom's squad, because I think so far, fingers crossed, touch wood, they seem to have coped with the situation and managed it pretty well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it will be a 16 gap between fixtures by the time they get back to action against Fulham on Monday, the 20th of December. So that'll be a week today. That's the start of four games in 12 days, if my maths is correct. Is this one possible upturn of this postponement? Is that, you know, they're going to have a little bit more rest, or do you reckon they'd rather go into this off the back of hopefully what would have been another positive result?
I think they'd have rather played the game, to be honest. Listen, I think you're right. I think what the coaching staff will try and do is take something positive from the situation. So expect to hear plenty of talk the next time we speak to them about, you know, we've had more time to work with the players on the training ground. And I think that's probably particularly relevant at Sheffield United right now, because, you know, when Slavisa Jokanović was still in charge, he spoke about the importance of having that sort of time on the training ground to try and instill his ideas and his methods. And we did see on a couple of occasions a noticeable upturn after an international break. So they'll be trying to treat it as that. Paul Heckingbottom is obviously new into the job, so I think he'll try and take the positives out of that. But listen, I don't think there's a footballer on the planet that there's no young kids who grow up dreaming of training, of being a footballer who trains. But what you do grow up as is a kid who dreams of being out there in front of a crowd actually playing first team matches. And I think if you said to Sheffield United squad now, tell you what, you can play four games in the next 7 days, four games in the next 6 days, and that means you're not going to actually have to train, I don't think there's one single member of that squad who would say, you know what, we'll take the training option, thank you very much. They want to be out there playing games, and especially when they're doing so well at the moment. As I said earlier, three games in a row, unbeaten in four, you know, real good momentum, confidence seems to be building. They'll have wanted to have been out there on the pitch.
But like you said, it is an opportunity with a new manager, new ideas to maybe just keep reiterating some of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they've got to do. There's no point in crying about it now. It's happened. You know, they've just got to make the best of a bad situation, but certainly an imperfect situation, and try and turn it to your advantage. Football's a ruthless game, isn't it? It's a selfish game. at times. So that's what Sheffield United have got to try and do. And as I said, they've got a really, really tough game coming up now against Fulham. You know, I mean, you've got two players in that Fulham camp. Mitrovic, he's just a cheat code, isn't he, for a Championship football team. But Mitrovic and Harry Wilson have scored as many goals just between the two of them as Sheffield United have all season. So, you know, there's going to be a real tactical battle there going on. I'm absolutely convinced that one of the things Paul Heckingbottom were looking to do is not try and combat Harry Wilson and Mitrovic when they're actually in and around Sheffield United's box with the ball. But I think what they'll be looking to do is try and cut that supply line. So there is a positive there, because in order to do that, that's going to take an awful lot of drilling on the training ground and an awful lot of sort of tactical analysis. So yeah, there is an opportunity there, a much greater opportunity there now to do that. But I still go back and say they would have rather have played this match against QPR tonight.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to a close, but you can stay up to date with this story and other updates from Bramall Lane at thestar.co.uk/football/Sheffield United. We're going to have new content up daily to help fill the void in what's going to be a quiet week. Thanks for listening.